my conviction, or my conviction is that you're just getting started. That what you have for us ahead will make what's behind pale in comparison. And Lord, so it's a great time to be a part of this body. It's a great time to be alive and to be a part of the kingdom because you will use us. Lord, we look in the mirror and you're like, Lord, how can you use the guy in the mirror, the girl in the mirror? But you do. That's what you do. And so, Father, we say yes to you. Let me be a vessel for you to use. Lord, I pray right now that you would open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and more importantly, that we would align our hearts to you in the name of Jesus. Amen, church. Well, I'm going to speak out of Romans, the 13th chapter, the first seven verses. This portion of Scripture, really Pastor Daniel was supposed to teach on, but he wanted to skip it. He goes, no, Pastor, you handle it. Right? So you'll see in a little bit why he chose to do that. But, you know, we live in a day in which, I mean, people get so offended by the littlest things. I mean, people have an opinion about everything. You know, they got opinion about, you know, who's in power. They got opinion about government. They got opinion about you name it. I mean, all of a sudden, everybody's an expert. And it's kind of interesting because that causes a real issue in our nation, especially when people are offended by really authority. Right now, we have people that just don't like authority, whatever, wherever it's at. They're always challenging authority. But here's what they do not know is authority is something that is really divine. It's divinely sanctioned and is divinely initiated. Authority in its various shades. Authority not only in government, but authority in the home. Authority at work. Authority even in the church. All those things are divinely sanctioned, and we're going to look at that. But you know, if you really, when you're reading Scripture, it always helps to understand the context and the culture. There's several things that you have to look at, the topography, the geography, all those kind of things, the history, in order to really understand the Scriptures, because one of the main principles in really teaching the Scriptures is this, and understand the Scriptures, is you have to look at the audience that it was spoken to. And it's the same thing in the book of Romans, or the letter to the church in Rome. You got to understand what they were going through and what they were involved in, and then you'll understand what the Apostle Paul was speaking to them is mind-blowing. And it might even be mind-blowing to us because we're kind of in the same place, but not as bad as they were. So when you look at the church in Rome, you got to understand they were part of the Roman Empire. Roman Empire ruled, you were talking, you know, Europe, we're talking the Middle East, we're talking, you know, Africa. I mean, they ruled a whole probably most of the known world at that time. And they ruled with an iron fist. They had an army second to none. I mean, they were the world power. So whenever there was any dissent, tell you what, the Caesars, there was like a dozen different Caesars in succession, would just send their army and they would crush any kind of rebellion or people that were rising up against them. When this letter was written to the church in Rome, the emperor at that time was Nero. Probably one of the worst emperors, one of the worst Caesars that ever existed. Bad dude, perverted dude. And you got to understand how he got that way. I mean, part of that was, you know, he kind of learned from his mom. See, it's interesting how he got to power. I mean, how did this guy get to power? Well, there was actually, his father was Claudius, who was the prior Caesar. And so his father really had somebody else in mind, one of the other kids in mind. Well, but Nero was mama's baby, right? And so mama wanted her boy to be the next emperor of Rome. And so mama comes up with a scheme. She poisons dad. She poisons dad as a way of getting him out of the way. And now my son is now in the position of power. See, because she thought, well, you know, I can kind of co-rule with him, you know, mama standing next to boy, and we'll rule the known world. That sounds great. But be careful what you teach your kids, as you just were talking about. You know, our kids pick it up. Be careful what you teach your kids, because Nero, there came a time when he got tired of his mom, so he kills his mom. Kills his mom, right? Tired of you, mom. Poof, you're gone. he gets rid of a couple brothers because they potentially could make a claim to the position of you know, the head of the Roman manpower. So he gets rid of them. And he would do that all the time. If he saw you as a threat, you're gone. That's just the way he operated. So he even eventually got rid of his wife. She must have burned the eggs or something. I don't know. He just woke up on the wrong side of the bed and boom, she's gone. Right? Got rid. I mean, this is the leader of our time. You know, we look at our leaders and we're like, oh my gosh, our leaders aren't that bad. I mean, they're not. They're not even close to being that bad. And in fact, another thing that he did also was there was a great fire that really swept through Rome. It began in this thing called Circus Maximus. I think it was a marketplace. Just burned a lot of the Rome. And guess who he blamed? He blamed the Christians. So then persecution broke out. That's the kind of dude that was in charge. And that's where the church was at. And so when I read you the portion of scripture we're going to study, don't lose track of that portion. Because what the Apostle Paul is asking the church to do is just mind-blowing. And then we're going to bring it into context where we're at. So are you guys ready? So I want to begin by asking this question, right? I want to begin by asking this question. As present-day followers of Jesus, what should be our attitude toward God and country? That's the name of my sermon, God and Country. I love that. What's our attitude? What if we don't agree with our leaders or our laws or our policies? What if we think, man, that leader, he's the dumbest guy that we've ever selected, and he doesn't know what he's doing, and he couldn't, govern himself out of a paper. What if we have these ideas, like sometimes people are? Once again, everybody thinks they're an expert. Usually those that have never led think they're the experts on how to lead people. But come on, yes. But I'm going to give you four things that I see out of Romans 13. Here's the first one that you got to understand. Believers, because you and I are called to a high standard, believers are to be subject to governing authorities. Not just in government, but we're talking in the family. We're talking about at work. We're talking also at church. Look what in Romans 13:1 says. Let every soul, so that kind of includes everybody. Let every soul, he's going to give an imperative statement, and then he's going to give the rationale for it. Let every soul be subject to governing authorities. Now, when he says be subject, that word is really a military word. To be subject is the same word that you would say a sergeant is really subject to his lieutenant. It's the same word. So he's saying, yeah, Nero's in charge, and he's one bad dude. In fact, you can make the case that he's crazy. But I'm telling you, be subject to governing authorities. Why? Here comes the rationale. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. What he's saying is this: God, you got to understand, God has ultimate authority. That's a no-brainer. God has ultimate authority. But here on earth, he gives authority, and he gives authority structure to our governments, to our families. In my family, my dad was in charge. And so I obeyed my dad for two reasons. Number one, I wanted to live. That's kind of a healthy thing. I want to make it to my 18th birthday. So I'm going to obey dad. And the other thing, I just understood that that's the role of parents, that there is that structure. Didn't understand the things that I understand now. But he says, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed God. So right away, he sets it up that authority exists, whether it's great or whether it's small, because God established it. That's why it exists. And you see this, sometimes we read in Scripture and it goes right by us. We see this in the example of Jesus. Turn with me to John 19. John 19, verse 10, 11. Remember, Jesus, he's been arrested and he's taken, before all these different tribunals and it's these kangaroo courts, as I call them. And so they bring him before Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate was really the governor of that area. He had been appointed by Caesar. And so he was the main ruler of that area. He called the shots there. And so they're laying all these accusations on Jesus, and Jesus is what? Remaining silent. He's not responding. And so Pontius Pilate, kind of gets on him for that. He says, and he starts feeling big and bad. He says, do you not know that I have the power to crucify you and the power to release you? Don't you know who I am? I'm the dude, right? I'm the governor. I'm the guy. But look what Jesus says to him. Exactly what Romans 13 is talking about. Jesus answered, look at verse 11, you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. He's like, the only reason you have power, the only reason you have authority is because God has ordained it and God has given it to you. No other reason. I mean, that, whew. That's awesome, right? So this portion of Scripture, really the focus is on the believer and how you respond to authority, not on the legitimacy of the authority, not on the legitimacy of the governance that's happened, not on whether, you know, they're competent or incompetent, or whether just or unjust. Once again, he's writing to a church that is ruled by a guy that is outright evil and outright unjust. And Jesus is submitting himself to a guy that is as crooked as can be, Pontius Pilate. But he tells him, wait a minute, this thing that's happening here is only happening because my Father is allowing it. And so we really submit to authority because it's God's plan. That's why we submit to authority. It's God's plan for us. He appoints authority, and he does expect that they rule well and they rule good. See, they will always give an account. Whoever has been granted authority, whether it's your supervisor, whether it's you as a parent, whether it's, you know, whether it's our president or our governor, whatever, they will all give an account one day. They will all stand before God one day and give an account. God says, wait a minute, I gave you authority over a group of people. Let's talk about what you did with that. So nobody gets away with anything. See, sometimes we get all crazy because we think somebody's getting away with something. No one's getting away with anything. Nobody that is ruling right now, nobody in politics is getting away with anything, which is kind of sobering because as a parent, you also give an account for how you parent. Does this scare anybody besides me? Yeah. See, I'm still a parent. My kids are in their 30s and I'm still a parent. Right? They have their own lives, they have their own families, but my role as one who influences them doesn't stop. When I come before the Lord, I come on behalf of the Flores clan. And that's the way I go before the Lord. And I go before his throne and I make intercessions for my children and my grandchildren. I even make intercession for children that haven't even been born, right? But all will give an account, and we see that in Daniel, the second chapter. Daniel 2, put it in context a little bit. The king of Babylon at that time was Nebuchadnezzar. Now, at that time, Babylon was the world power, and Nebuchadnezzar was the king. Once again, an evil guy. He had invaded Israel, had taken the best and the brightest, so they were in captivity. And so Nebuchadnezzar, like a lot of leaders, began to believe their press. They began to believe that they're great, and so he starts, you know, believing, hey, man, look at this. He looks at his kingdom. He's like, wow, I've done good. And the Lord judges him, makes him lose his mind. Pretty soon he's out there eating grass on all fours. It's a crazy story. You got to read it, man. Fingernails growing. I mean, the dude stunk. I mean, he's out there. Here he was. He's the ruler of the greatest kingdom at that time. And then he's lost his mind because God judged him. But it's when he comes out of that he begins to really understand, oh my gosh, God is who he says he is. But one of the things that Daniel says about God, he says this in verse 21, talking about God, he changes the times and the seasons. That's who did it. That's who does it. He removes kings and he raises up kings. In fact, Scripture says that he really raises up nations. The United States was raised up because God has a purpose for us. As soon as we fulfill our purpose or we walk away from our purpose, guess what? We're on a downward spiral. God will raise up somebody else to fulfill. And I don't think God's done with us, not at all. Not at all, because we're still doing a lot of good. And I pray that, you know, my prayer today was this, Lord, let us get back to really what the founding fathers understood as a nation. Some people would say, that's naive. You can't go back that way. I don't care. I'll pray a naive prayer anytime. You know, call it naive. I'm going to pray that, right? Because you always want to pray that which you want to see. Don't run it through this noggin that thinks, oh, that's not possible. I'm going to, you know, a little bit lesser. No, that's not possible, you know. Lord, let us, you know, otherwise we're going to pray beauty, passion prayers. Lord, give us world peace. No, we need to be more specific than just that, right? If you were in a beauty pageant, sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. yeah, sorry. But there's scholarships. I understand that. There's. But you might say, Pastor. You might say, Pastor, stick to your notes. But you might say, wait a minute. What if literally the guy is evil? What if what he's doing is corrupt? You know, what if he's Hitler? Right? Is there any exceptions to obeying authority? And there is exceptions. It's when authorities violate an explicit commandment of God. And the perfect example is Acts 5:29. Here the early church, right, the leaders of the church had been arrested and they were beat up and whooped and everything else. And they're told, don't be preaching that Jesus. Like, you know, it's okay to, you know, have Jesus, but don't be taking him out into the marketplace. Don't be bringing him into school. Don't be bringing him into work. You know, leave him outside. And so they were arrested and released, told none of that Jesus stuff. Well, guess what the apostles did? They went out to the marketplace and proclaimed Jesus anyway. And they're like, wait a minute, you're not going to silence us. And church, I'm raising you up to be the same as those that have gone before us. We're going to be a church that will not be silenced. Will not be silenced, because that's the ploy of the enemy. That's what he wants to do. You're dangerous when you begin to talk about Jesus and what he's done in you and who he is. You're dangerous. And that's why he wants to keep you silent. And so they rearrest these guys. They're like, did we tell you guys? Don't be talking that Jesus stuff. And this is, so here's the exception. This is what they said to them. Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than men. In other words, when God and man collide in their edicts, we choose God every time. Amen. That is the exception. That's the exception. And so what about Hitler? Well, it's interesting if you study about Hitler. Hitler actually used Romans 13 to silence the church. This portion of scripture that we're studying, Hitler actually used that against the church. He's like, wait a minute, you're supposed to follow authority. And the church is like, yeah, we know he's kind of a bad dude. And he'd get the leaders together. Hey, you're supposed to follow Acts 13. And you know what? The church believed it, and they were silent for too long. They were silent until it was really, in many ways, too late. But remember I told you, God, he's patient, but God will still move and judge. When we look at Hillary, we think he did a lot of bad, but understand that there came a time when God raised the entire world to come against him. God is patient, and sometimes we're thinking, man, God, you're too patient. But you know what? I want him to be patient because he's patient with me too. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, go get him. Well, then you're saying, go get me too. I'm like, okay, Lord, be patient. Be patient. You know how where I learned that from? I learned that from my pastor. Because I remember I went to my pastor. There was this one pastor that, you know, he was way out there. I mean, he was like doing stuff that shouldn't have been doing. And I'm like, and I went to my pastor and said, why is that guy still, I mean, his church is still growing. And my pastor says, well, I think for two reasons. Number one, he's God is still blessing the church. It's not just about the pastor, it's about the church. He wants to bless the church. And then my pastor said, this is what I told you. You know, sometimes I think, get him, Lord. But then I think, well, wait a minute, that's a standard now for me too. So I want God to be patient. And he is patient, amen? And then also we see another thing in the early church. It was about this time period where believers were being arrested. And remember, Caesar viewed himself as the savior. Emperors were really worshipped in that day. So Christians were arrested and told, declare, right, proclaim Caesar as Lord or be executed. Wow. So you know what they chose? Jesus is Lord. And they lost their lives. We've seen it even in our day. You saw in the Middle East, you know, they bring these Christians, right, they line them up, deny your faith or we cut your head off. Cut away, boys, right? We will not deny Almighty God. We will not deny Jesus, who is our Savior. Amen? Amen. We will not. I mean, like I said, this is some serious stuff. Some serious stuff. So the second thing, civil authority, now civil government, talking about civil government, I was part of civil government for 24 years, is authorized by God. Civil government, you've got to understand that. Once again, let's go look at verse 1. Let every soul, so it replies to everybody, be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Well, look how close authority and God are tied in. Look at verse 2. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment upon themselves. So God has ultimate authority, but he's granted authority to other groups in various forms, government, family, church, employers, I said. And really what he's saying is to resist those authorities is to resist God himself. Right? To be causing trouble because you just don't like what your boss is doing is really to be resisting what God has put on there. And when we get to the end, I'm going to tell you really the solution. Because I'm one of these guys, I'm a political junkie too. And I can, like everybody else, man, I can get online and just like give people a piece of my mind. Oh, can you believe this guy? That's what people do. This guy don't know what he's doing. Well, that group, you know, the Republicans, you know, the Democrats, the Independents, you know, those other people, whoever they are, you know, right? We're like, this rebellion wells up in us. And I believe that's the strategy of the enemy. And I'm going to tell you why. It's a strategy of the enemy, and it's very effective. Very effective. And yet there's religions, it's interesting, there's religions that allow their followers to cause terror in the name of the religion. Well, you know, followers of Yahweh, followers of Jesus, we don't get to do that. Because then we would be really fighting the very thing that God has put into place. God can take care of things by himself. Did you know that? God can move in and deal with someone. He's very capable. We might ask him to, but he's very capable. And so civil government is authorized by God. Here's the third thing about government. How can you recognize good government? Here we go. I could say good government is ordained to promote good and restrain evil. That's really the role of government, to promote good and restrain evil. We're in a weird time because you could swear sometimes, like our government, our culture, our governmental leaders are like promoting evil and restraining good. They've got it backwards. But you know why? Because they don't know any better. That's why. If you study the scripture, you'll see that God will from time to time raise up a prophet ready to speak to the leaders, to call the leaders for their stuff, or raise up a prophet really to educate the leaders. And so we need God in this day to raise up prophets to begin to speak to our leaders. But as long as the church is silent, the same thing will continue. Good will be restrained and evil will be promoted. That's the day in which we live in. And look what he says here in verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. In other words, if they're going to restrain anything, it should be evil that they're restraining. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? In other words, if you buck authority, guess what? You're gonna have something coming, right? That's why we drive 55-ish, right? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Do what is good, and you. In other words, the government will praise a people that are good people, and I believe Christians are still in good standing. I think Christians are still in good standing. You know, I think of and we're seeing several walls that were there broken down. Schools are now coming to churches for help. The first time it happened to us, it's been several years, and we've done it several times. But several years ago, Evergreen Middle School, they were in a tough budget season, and somehow word got to us. They needed some help, and so we said, okay, cool, they need some help, let's go help. And that first time we went, they just didn't even have the budget for paint. We're like, don't worry about it. We'll buy the paint. We'll provide the workers. We'll get the school ready for the new school year. And those kind of things are breaking down that they're realizing, you know what? Christians are not people that you should fear. Quite the contrary. They're a good partner. They're a good partner. But sometimes we as a church, we're like, you know, well, they kicked Jesus out of the school. We're not. No, that's such small thinking. You know, that's the same thing when they, you know, they got on Jesus for hanging around with tax collectors and sinners. Right? What are you doing with tax collectors and sinners? I don't know if it ever occurred to you. We're tax collectors and sinners. That's who we were. So I'm glad he hung out with people like you and I. Because he got us saved. Now we're saints. We're saints. And sometimes, but we become so religious sometimes, we're like, hey, man, I don't want to, I'm going to get tainted. But you got to understand, that which is holy can touch that which is unholy and transform it. That's how we got transformed. So do what is good and you will have praise from the same. Verse 4. Look what he's saying about the leaders. Once again, he's talking about Nero. For he, talking about the leader, is God's minister to you for good. In other words, he's doing the work of God, or should be. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. In other words, he's given authority, he's given governments really the right to punish evil. Not the right to punish good. And that's where government goes wrong, when they punish good. And we've seen it in our day too. We've seen it in our time. That's okay. For he's God's minister to an avenger to execute wrath or to punish on him who practices evil, not good. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath. In other words, you should obey the laws or else you're going to get what's coming to you, but also for conscience sakes. In other words, because you know what the scriptures teach. Even the Apostle Paul believed in this. Not only, even before we see Romans 13. Because remember, he was in Caesarea and he gets arrested for preaching Jesus. He gets arrested and they want to, you know, rip him from limb to limb. I mean, they want to tear him apart. They want to kill him. And as a Roman citizen, he appeals to who? Caesar. Well, Paul, maybe you don't know. Caesar's a bad dude. Yeah, but there was laws. I mean, it's interesting, the protection that was afforded Roman citizens almost is like the protection that is afforded us. You know, I was in court this week, and it was interesting. We'd gone back. It had nothing to do with me. I was there on another case, just in case you were thinking. I knew it. I knew it. But it's kind of frustrating because, you know, busy guy. There's other people that were there. They're busy people. But we showed up, and they'd reset it yet again. But the reason, and the judge took time to explain, I understand that because I explained my whole career being in court, obviously, because of what I did. But the judge says, you know, I can't proceed because one of the rights that we have living in this country, which is an awesome right that you should, you know, glad we have it because other nations do not. And he said, we can't proceed because if someone's being accused of something, they have the right to face their accusers. See, in other nations, you know what? They would have had the hearing whether you're there or not, and they find you, they convict you, and you're not even there. Right? Convict you in absentia. I mean, that's just what they do. So the Roman Empire, the same way, a lot of these rules would protect the innocent. Now, the problem was that the guys at the very top were corrupt. I mean, yeah, you think it was right by their laws for Nero to kill everybody that was a threat? No, that was against the laws, but it didn't apply to them, kind of. But when rules don't exist or aren't enforced, you run into chaos. You know, you look in Mexico or Colombia, where the drug cartels are really in charge, where government has kind of backed off, like, whoa, we're scared, right? Once again, their role is to restrain what? Evil. That the innocent will be protected. But instead, they've backed away. And in fact, some people, you know, try to be brave and like, well, I'm going to be police chief, and they last one day. They get executed in one day. It's crazy. And then now you're having even pastors and priests being assassinated because they stand for good, and we don't want goodness. We see government is, and authority is something that is needed. You cannot, you know, it's almost like in our day, people are really advocating anarchy. Ah, you know, the government's evil. Let's just do what we want. No, that's anarchy. You don't want that. Greater evil happens when that happens. You know, I don't know if I didn't watch the movie, but I'm familiar with what happened in Rwanda. Right? I mean, and there you had really a government sanctioning one tribe doing an ethnic cleansing against another tribe. So in like 100 days, some like up to 1 million people were hacked to death and killed. That's when government loses control or is on the side of evil, that's what happens. And see, the Apostle Paul is saying, no. Government is a good thing, right? And it's meant to govern well. So they're bear seat subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake, because you know better. Here's the fourth thing. I'm gonna get to the good stuff. Just to let you know. But here's not the one, number four. Look at it. Government is ordained to provide benefits through taxation. The Bible even talks about paying your taxes. How many of you think you pay too much taxes? Raise your hand. Come on, just be honest, right? There you go. See, this doesn't talk about whether you're paying too much taxes. It just says that you should, and this is why. Verse 6, for because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers or workers attending continually to this very thing. Verse 7, render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs, so this is like talking about tolls, custom to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So he says government provides services like justice, protection, and services. Government brings that, make sure that there's peace, and because of that, it's only right that you pay in their taxes. You know what I like about Washington County? We got the best roads anywhere. We literally have the best roads anywhere. You can tell when you leave Multnomah County and you get to Washington County. You're like, whoa, it's nice roads. But if you go to other countries where they don't have the taxation that we do, like you go to Haiti, I mean, number one, there's no roads. They call them roads, but they're, I mean, you know, they're... Kids disappear in their potholes. I mean, that's how bad it is. You know, we go to Mexico, same thing. You know, we obviously go off-road because we go and build houses among poor communities. Well, they don't have roads, and invariably something breaks. Our vehicles take a beating when we go over there, and we know that. I mean, we try to, you know, do our best, but, I mean, it is amazing. And so he's saying you get benefits. It's okay that they didn't pay taxes for those benefits. You know, I live in North Plains, and we call it the New Jerusalem. I mean, it's an awesome place, right? You know, God's people live there, more and more moving there. So I'm just making a plug. You might want to move to Jerusalem, because to North Plains. You know, I can walk around North Plains 10, 11 o'clock at night and not even worry about my safety or nothing. You know, police officers, right? There's police officers. Where there's technically 3.5. So there's a 0.5 guy. There's, you know, this police officer about that tall. But, you know, there's 3.5 police officers, I think, in North Plains. But who pays their salary? We do, our taxes, right? And because of that, I enjoy their protection. The judge that we went before, who pays his salary? We do, taxes. I worked for government over 20-some years. And I took my role serious. I viewed myself as a civil servant. That was old school. Civil servant. I worked for you. You paid taxes. And there was stuff going on in the community that you never knew, but I did. And it was my job to keep you safe. So I did my job extremely well. I was good at what I did. Very good at what I did. It's because you were paying your hard-earned taxes to make sure that I provided a service for you. Right? Yesterday I picked on the post people, post masters and the postmen, but we've got post people from here today, so I'll leave them alone. No, once again we laugh. We like, man, we cost too much for a stamp. Try to mail something to Haiti. It'll never get there. Never get there. Right? It'll be stolen or something. I mean, and it just won't get there. I mean, don't even try. Don't even try. And there's other places in the world. So be grateful that here, you know, what you send will get there, right? If not, your doorbell camera will catch the guy who took it off the porch. And then you call the cops and they'll bring him back, right? But right second, he's writing to a nation that had taxes too. The Romans, they had an income tax. They had a ground tax, so you paid for your land. They had a poll tax, so if you're going over a bridge, they would charge you. Local taxes, travel tax. I mean, they had all these taxes. And to them, he's saying, yeah, that's okay. Because the Romans had amazing roads. They had like Washington County kind of roads. They really did. They were engineers. They had awesome bridges. They really were. And the people paid with their taxes. But you know, remember I mentioned that sometimes we just get all crazy and we get online and, you know, oh, I got to give you a piece of my mind about how screwed up things are. And I truly believe that's a ploy of the enemy. Not that we can't, you know, give our opinion about stuff. But I think what happens next is really what we're called to do. In 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 2, look what it says. This is what we should be doing. And this just smacked me in the face because I don't do this. I'd rather complain about our government. I'd rather complain about that group, this group, how inefficient that is. I mean, I'm a complainer, and this really smacked me because I shouldn't be a complainer. I should be the following. It says, therefore, I exhort you, first of all, that supplications, prayers, and intercessions, those are types of prayers, right? And giving of thanks be made for all men. This is saying, Carlos, quit your whining and your complaining and instead get on your knees and pray. For all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority, that you may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. Man, does that smack anybody else but me, right? Because it's easy to complain. It's easy to say, that guy doesn't know what he's doing. Right? Monday morning quarterbacks. I remember my brother, I used to give him a hard time. I grew up in Texas, so I'm a Dallas fan, right? And my brother, you know, Dallas played in the Super Bowl a few times. And so we'd watch it on TV. They didn't have instant anything back then, replay or nothing. Well, my brother, you know, well, we lived in Texas at the time, but say Dallas was playing, you know, New Orleans or somewhere. And so, you know, a call would be made. And my brother would jump up and he's just yelling at the refs. Right? I'm like, seriously, dude? You think you saw it better from 1,100 miles away than the ref was there? But yet that's the way we conduct ourselves sometimes. We don't have the full picture and we're like, we're getting online and we're going to, you know, give people a piece of our mind. No, get on your knees and pray for that. And pray what you want to see. Amen? See, Washington County is blessed because you and I live here. The nation is blessed because you and I live here. Look at what Proverbs 14:34 says. Righteousness exalts a nation. When God's people are there, the nation, that's why our nation is amazing. Because you and I are here. That's why Washington County is amazing. But sin, that's why it must be restrained. Evil must be restrained as a reproach to any people. So a godly citizen, we do the following. We support authority because authority is from God. Whether we agree that it's good or not, we still must support it. We submit to authority. You see, they can't touch your soul. They can't touch your soul. But you can pray for authority and touch their soul. Right? So I think that one of the best witnesses you and I can have is really to be those who support our government, those who support parents, those who support our teachers, right? Those who support our pastors. And one of the best ways is to be on our knees and pray for them. Amen? Amen. David, come on up. We're going to take communion. I'm so excited. Another thing that the Lord instituted.